Exodus chapter 21. Turn there with me. Exodus 21. I also was thinking about children in the nursery and those who keep it. I pity them. Both. I tell our ladies that keep the children, I said, thank you for pulling time. It's a tough job. I'm glad we got a nursery, aren't you? I remember growing up, there were no nurseries in churches, and buddy, you couldn't hardly hear a word that was said, couldn't you? Screaming babies. It was bad. Exodus 21, read with me verses 1 through 6. Just six short verses. Oh, what a message. If you've never heard this, I envy you. If you have, may we hear it as if it were the first time. Now these are the judgments which thou shalt set before them, that is Israel. If thou buy an Hebrew servant, 6 years he shall serve. In the seventh, he shall go out free for nothing. If he came in by himself, he should go out by himself. If he were married, then his wife shall go out with him. If his master have given him a wife, and she have borne him sons or daughters, the wife and her children shall be her master. They belong to him. He shall go out by himself. And if the servant shall plainly say, I love my master, my wife, and my children, I will not go out free. Then his master shall bring him unto the judges. He shall also bring him to the door, or unto the doorpost. And his master shall bore his ear through with an awl, and he shall serve him forever. I've read this several times preparing for this. It just blessed me immensely reading it. Our Lord said of the Old Testament, they are they which testify of me, Christ. Simon Peter said, to him give all the prophets witness. This is another marvelous story of Jesus Christ and him crucified. The servant of God. Christ, the servant of God. Sent to save his people. To bring them out of bondage. Because he loved them. And this is also the story of God's people who are willing in the day of his power. As he is, so are we. They were women. Now look at verse 1. Let's get right into it. These are the judgments which thou shalt set before them. These are God's commands. These are God's dealings to set before Israel. This was given to the sons of Jacob. Oh, how blessed it is to be a son of Jacob. He made known his ways to the children of Israel, the sons of Jacob. He has set his judgments before us, his word before our eyes. Oh, the dealings, the judgments, the dealings of our God for his people, the wonderful work. Oh, that men would praise the Lord for his wonderful work to the children of men. And we do, don't we? And I want to set before you again this morning. And again, I'm going to set before you what God has done for us in Christ. I'm going to set him forth. I hope to lift him up. If he be lifted up, he'll draw you to him. These are the judgments. This is what you're to preach, he said. This is what you're to do. Set these before the people. All right, verse 2. If thou buy an Hebrew servant, 6 years he shall serve, and in the seventh he shall go out free for nothing. A Hebrew servant. This is to the Jews. Sons of Jacob, as I said, Israel. Who is Israel? God's elect. Yeah, I said it again. I'm going to keep saying it because God's Word says it. Because it's God's glory that He chose a people. Nobody would choose Him if He didn't choose somebody. Israel, God's elect, loved by God. Jacob have I loved. Boy, if He loves you, if God loves you, if God loves you, He's going to love you forever. If God loves you, He sent Christ to die for you. If God loves you, He's going to accept that payment Christ made. If God loves you, He sent the Holy Spirit to bring you out of bondage. If God loves you, you're loved forever. And you'll be saved. You'll be redeemed. Doctrine, this is God's glory. And it's our hope. God's love that men so blaspheme is my hope of salvation. Not my love for Him, His love for me. Charity never faileth. God's love will not fail His people. Israel, God's elect. This story is a command. This story is the judgments of God, the dealings of God originate with God. Who wrote this? Who put this purpose forth? Who made this command? God did. The gospel is according to God. It's the gospel of God. The gospel started with God. When did He make this gospel? When did He purpose to save a people? When did God decide all that, determine all that, before the world began? The people, the children being not yet born, neither having done any good or evil, that the purpose of God according to election might stand. God said, this is the way it's going to be. Doctrine. This is God's glory. This is our hope. A covenant keeping God. A covenant making and a covenant keeping God. Brothers and sisters, salvation is not dependent on you. Not for nothing. Let me talk like a Franklin County. It ain't up to you. It ain't dependent on you. It ain't what you do. It ain't what you did. It's what Christ did and does. That's what this story is about. About a servant that's going to come and redeem. And do what? Bring them out. If you were preaching this, you'd get excited too. You would. I'm telling you. If you love His salvation, you can. The zeal of His house, is His glory, it'll eat you up. I want it to. I want you to. This is my story. This is my song. Praising my what? Now, if He didn't save me, He's not worthy of praise, is He? But He did. He does. All right. It says in verse 2, a servant, a Hebrew servant, a slave, that's the word slave. You know, evil men have taken these verses of Scripture to and used them to condone slavery in this country. You know that? That's how wicked men can be. It's okay to go over there and get somebody and that's a men's stealer, isn't it? Isn't it a men's capture somebody and against their will and bring them over and make them your slave? And the Scripture says God's going to judge people like that. John Newton, who wrote Amazing Grace, was a slave trader. He had on a ship and he went over to Africa and took men away from their families and children. Can you imagine? That's the reason he wrote Amazing Grace. That saved a wretch like me. When he realized you were a slave to this world, to sin, to the God of this world, but I redeemed you. When you realize you're not worth saving, John Newton realized, I'm not worth saving. I'm worth damning. So he wrote, not just grace, amazing grace that saved a wretch like me. A Hebrew servant. Here's the story. A Hebrew would become a servant or a slave. That's the word. And the definition of slave is a person who's the property of another. A person who's subject to its owner completely, legally owned, with no freedom, No rights to own anything. A slave is a person completely under the dominion and ownership of another. You know, Paul called himself a bond slave of Jesus Christ. But in Hebrew, how could a Hebrew become a slave? Two ways. A Hebrew, God's people. Debt. If you owed a debt you couldn't pay, they put you in debtor's prison. And you couldn't come out until it was paid. Or if somebody else paid it for you. And the next thing was crime. You commit a crime, you're going to jail. Back to debt. Going to prison. That's how a Hebrew could become a slave. Well, look at Isaiah 42 with him. Isaiah 42. You know, we're all by nature slaves. We're all in bondage, captivity to the god of this world. We're all born in sin. We all owe a debt to God that we cannot pay. A debt to His glory. A debt of thanks. A debt to His law. We're supposed to keep law. We break every one of them. It's a debt we cannot pay. Believer, no believer can make amends for anything he's done against God. He can't do it. Only one person who makes amends. And that's Jesus Christ. This is all of us. We're in debt under the law. What's our hope? That somebody, that God sent somebody to pay this debt. That God sent somebody to pay for this crime that we committed. And He did. Look at Isaiah 42. Behold, my servant, whom I uphold, mine elect. See, we're chosen in Him. In whom my soul delighteth. I have put my spirit upon Him. He shall bring forth what? Judgment to the Gentile. Justice. He shall not cry or lift up his voice in the street. He's not trying to get anybody to believe on him. He come to save. He didn't come to try to do anything. He came to save. A bruised reed he'll not break, a smoking flax he'll not quench, shall he bring forth judgment or justice unto truth. He shall not fail. Look down at verse 6. This is God speaking to Christ. I, the Lord, have called thee in righteousness and will uphold thine hand, will keep thee and give thee, you're the covenant of the people, for a light of the Gentile, to open the blind eyes, to bring out the prisoners from the prison. Listen to this. Psalm 45. Listen to this. Couldn't wait to read this. Scripture says, I have raised him up, talking about God raising up Christ in righteousness. I will direct all his ways. He shall build my city. He shall let go my captives. Not for price, nor reward, saith the Lord of God. So Christ came. Now look at our text in Exodus 21. Look at it. That's our Lord Jesus Christ, God's servant. God's servant. Behold my servant. His willing slave. Yes. And he says in verse 2, if you buy a servant, 6 years he shall serve. In the seventh, he shall go out free for nothing. If you buy a servant, 6 years he shall serve. Now did not Simon Peter say, brethren, be not ignorant of this one thing. A day is as 1,000 years, and 1,000 years is a day, the Lord. And God is not slack concerning His promise. Okay. God created the world in 6 days, actual day, 24-hour day, the morning and the evening, one day. On the seventh day, what did He do? He rested. All right? Who's been running this world from the beginning? Jesus Christ. He's always been Lord of this world. Always. God made Him, as Psalm 2, didn't He say, this is my King, I've set Him on the hill. He reigns, He rules. 6,000 years our Lord has been the King of kings and Lord of lords. Yes, He has. Reigning and ruling. He came and once in the last day put away sin. How? By the sacrifice of himself, made of a woman, made under the law, to what? Redeem. Pay the debt. Pay the price. Pay the penalty for their sin. To bring them out. And one of these days, real soon, he came the first time to pay this sin debt by the sacrifice of himself. He's coming again to do what? Take us out. And it cost us nothing. Free. It's free. Year of Jubilee. That's what this is, those of you who know. The seventh year, God commanded it. He commanded it, didn't it? After 6,000 years, the seventh year, they're going free. For nothing. It cost somebody. Didn't cost them anything. It cost the servant. It cost Christ. Look at verse 3. I hope you're with me. Are you with me? I'm going to keep saying that till everybody's with me. All right? If he came in by himself, he'll go out by himself. If he were married, his wife's going with him. Now, our Lord did come into this world by himself, didn't he? He came to do this work. Anybody help him? He did it by himself. Completely. By himself. Single, solitary man redeemed every single sinner that God chose. By himself. Nobody helped him do it. He did it all. Jesus paid it all. All the what? The debt I owe. Sin had left a crimson stain. Left me in debtor's prison. A captive. He washed it white now. He came by himself to pay the price. Pay the price. And he freed God's people. The little book of Hosea, I told you to keep it, but for the sake of time. And the Lord said, this is the story of God's love for his people, of Israel. He said, I've sent you to love this woman, an adulteress, and buy her and bring her out to pay for her. And that's what Christ did. And the whole book of Hosea, it begins with God saying about, O Ephraim, leave him alone. He's gone to his idols. That's what he loves. Just leave him alone. And then a little while later it says, I can't give you up. And he didn't. And he saved him. And one of the very last words in Hosea is Ephraim said, and this is what God's people say, what have I to do anymore with idols? I've heard him. So he made him his. So Christ came into this world alone. Yes, he did. But hold on. God gave him a bride before the world began. God gave him a wife. He came by himself, but he had some people on his heart, in his mind, engraved on the palms of his hands, and on his breastplate, and on his shoulders. He had his bride. That's it. His bride, his children. Came into this world alone, but he came to save his people. And he's coming again. And boy, Scripture says when Christ comes again, there's going to be a whole lot of people go out with him. Free. For nothing. A bunch of good for nothings. Free. For nothing. Nothing they pay. In my hands, no price. Look at verse 4. I'm going to make this short. If his master has given him a wife, and she's borne him sons or daughters, the wife of her children shall be her master's, and he shall go out by himself. Sons and daughters given, a wife given, that they belong to the master, the one given. Right? God's people are called his people. Aren't they? They're God's chosen. They're God's people. They're God's children. Okay? They belong to God, but they belong to Christ too. Didn't he say that in John 6? All that the Father hath given me shall come to me. And him that cometh to me, I'll no wise cast out. Didn't he say, this is the Father's will, of everyone which he hath given me, I should what? Somebody say it loud. Lose nothing. But raise them up at this time. Take them out. Everyone. Oh, he came to do this work by himself, but he came with a people on his heart and his mind. He came with you. Have you ever thought of it that way, that Christ came in this world just to save you? Brothers, if we thought of it like that, people have to tell us to lower our voice singing. Me? Yeah, he did. And he's not going out without them. He's coming back to take them home. And I was going to have you turn to Hebrews 2, but oh my. It says that the people, the children, Christ came because they were partakers of flesh and blood. He took part in the same, that what? He through death should deliver them from the fear of the death. And pay that price for them. He had his bride. He had his people on his mind. His children. In the end, you know what it's going to say? Behold, I am the children that thou hast given me. All present and accounted for. Every one of them. Not going to lose one. His glory. What if somebody who God chose and purposed to save and Jesus Christ died for perished someday? Wouldn't that dishonor God? Wouldn't that make His love worthless? Wouldn't that make the blood of Christ worthless? Listen to me. If God fails to save one person He's chosen, one person He loved, one person Christ died for, God's a failure. It says, what does it say? He shall not fail. Let me give you an illustration. And that most of you have heard this. When Hannah was in about the sixth grade, she had a birthday party, a pool party at a YMCA in Roanoke. This was before our Y was built, I think. Yeah. And a pool party, all right? And she invited about nine kids, male and female, to that pool party, all right? Nine scallywags. Anyway, I was in charge of all of these children. And they were swimming in water over their heads. And the whole time they were swimming. I'm talking the whole time. I did not enjoy that outing one bit. The whole time I'm counting here. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9. The whole time. What if the parents came? Where's my son? Oh, I don't know. I lost him. But what's one out of nine? That's my son. I love him. You're supposed to be watching him. Huh? God's glory is at stake. This ain't doctrine. It's His glory. It's our salvation. Sister Sally, it's our salvation. If God says, I'm going to save you, He's going to save you. Yes, He is. If God promised that the blood of Jesus Christ cleanses from all sin, it pays every debt, it sets you free. You know what He means by that? He means what He says. You can trust Him. You better trust Him. For your peace, for your comfort. Sarah, Kate, Deborah, Wesley. This ain't doctrine. It's our salvation. This is Bible. This is truth. Salvation depends completely on Jesus Christ, not man. And I'm so glad. If he comes in, he pays his price. Look at verse 5. If a servant says plainly, I love my master, I love my wife, I love my children, I'm not leaving here until I pay every penny. Till I pay the debt. Behold, what manner of love Herein is love, not that we loved God, but He loved us and sent His Son to be the propitiation, the payment, the penalty for our sin. Look at verse. So Christ said, I love my God, my Father. I love my bride. I love my people, my children. Isn't that what He calls us, His children? He said, I will not go out free. So what did He have to do? He had to become a slave. He had to become a bondservant, a willing bondservant. He had to be under the law, didn't he? He had to be made sin for us who do not sin. He had to be under His own law that He wrote to pay the penalty that I guess feel free. And this was His love. And brothers and sisters, let me say this to you. Okay? Let me say this to you. Salvation is for Christ's sake. Listen to me. It's for Christ's sake. And we know that, don't we? But God so loved the world, the people out of the world. You know that God loves, if you're a believer, God loves you as much as He loves His Son Jesus, right? Do you know that? You know that God loved you, if you're a believer, He loved you before you were ever born. And He purposed to save you. Yeah. And He loves you right now. I'm a sinner. Even while we're yet sinners, He died for it. He loves you. God loves His people as much as He loved Jesus. Can you get a hold of that? Say, I don't believe. This is what He said. He said, the Father Himself loveth you. I go to my Father and your Father. Didn't He? God so loved His people. He loves you. That's why I came. He says, for Christ's sake. Yes, it is. But for the great love wherewith He loved us. Somebody smile. I know what religion's saying about the love of God. It's saying He loves everybody. No, He doesn't. But whoever He loved, people He loved them, Bonnie Stanley, He loved you before you were again. You know why you believe Christ? Because God loved you. You know why you're going to be saved someday? Because God loves you. Not you, Him. I have a hard time believing that myself. How could He love me like Christ? Because He's God, that's how. Because He's God. My. Behold, what manner of love. So where am I? Exodus 21. So He says in verse 6, this is what you're going to have to do. You're going to bring... The master will bring him, the servant, to the judges. He bring him to the door and the doorposts. And his master's going to take an awl, a big nail, an awl. And he's going to bore his ear through with this awl. Blood's going to be shed. Right? And he's going to serve forever. Willing. No. Now turn with me to Isaiah 50 and I'll close. Okay? Isaiah 50. Go over there. This is marvelous. You know, if you'll start reading Isaiah 49, it leads all the way up to 53. Start reading it. You'll see. It's amazing. It just... Melanie, it just builds and builds and builds. Well, go back further than that. Chapter 42. But chapter 50, look at this. Chapter 50, look at verse 2. When I came, was there no man? No, it wasn't. When I called, was there none to answer? Is my hand shortened at all that cannot redeem? Have I no power to deliver? Behold, at my rebuke I draw out the sea. I make the rivers a wilderness. Verse 3, I clothe the heavens with blackness. Verse 4, the Lord's given me the tongue of the learned to speak a word in season. Verse 5, the Lord hath opened mine ear. Meaning, son, this is God speaking to Christ. This is the work that you must do. This was the covenant. This is the work you must do. Listen to me. This is what you must do to save my people. Verse 5. He opened my ear. I was not rebellious, neither turned away my back. I gave my back to the smiters. He opened my ear, and I gave my back to the smiters, my cheek to them that plucked off the hair. I hid not my face from shame and spitting. The Lord Jesus Christ, in that covenant with the Father, He heard what He must do. He heard, and all the Scriptures bear witness of the sufferings of Christ on Calvary's tree. All of it. This whole story is about Christ, Him crucified. You see, it's leading up to blood being shed to pay the penalty. Blood being shed. And Christ said, I was obedient unto the call to save my people. And did you notice it says, bring him to the door. And the doorposts. When the judges, God is a judge. Christ stood before God to judge. Christ stood before the law, didn't he? Christ stood before false judges and bad men. And everybody found him guilty. Though he did no sin. He was made sin, wasn't he? Though he himself was not guilty, he took our guilt, our sin, our sin. He brought him to the door. That door was ended up being covered with blood, didn't it? The blood of the servant, didn't it? Christ was covered with his own blood on Calvary's tree. Christ is the door. Where else have you heard about blood being on a doorpost? Anybody? Didn't it all start in Exodus 12? He's going to bring the people out. How are they going to come out? The blood of the Lamb. He said, you bring the blood of that Lamb to the doorposts and you cover it. The houses wherein the people are with that blood. And God said, when I see the blood. You ever heard anything like this? Yeah, we have. In every book of this Bible. Just one more glorious story. God's servant. Christ is the door. Christ is the Redeemer. Christ is God's servant. Christ is the Savior. And it says, the last line, He shall serve Him forever. Oh my. So we're going to see on the throne of God, a lamb as it had been slain. One who served God's purpose to save His people forever. We're going to see Him forever as our Redeemer, as our Savior. And we're going to be singing forever. Redeemed, how I love to proclaim, unto Him that loved us. And the last verse, the same as the first, throughout heaven. Now, as He is, so are we in the world. Right? Doesn't He call God's people servants? Doesn't He? Let me read this to you, and I'll close. Alright? We came into this world pretty much by ourselves. The sin we commit is by ourselves. Can't blame it on Adam. We did it. Alright? But He's given us a family. He's made us a part of His bride, hasn't He? Came in alone, but we ain't going to be alone. And we ain't going out of here alone. And we have a family. Christ's bride is mine. God's children are mine, aren't they? We're together in this. And the servant, when he realizes that, will you go away? Go away. Go away. What's the servant say? No, no. To whom shall we go? What shall we go? And here's what God's people say, just like Christ did. I love my master. I love my God. I love His kingdom. I love my wife, His wife. I love His bride. I love His church. I love Thy kingdom, Lord. The house of Thine abode, the church, my blessed Redeemer, saved with His own precious blood. No, 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 I'll lay down my life for my brethren. I love his children. I will not go free. I don't want to be free. I was free before. Didn't realize I was a slave to sin. I will not go free. So what does the master do? Bring him to the door. Bring that believer to the door. He says, I stand at the door and knock. What's he going to do? He's going to bore your ear. With what? A nail. Yeah, sure. That got a rise out of Irene. Christ is that nail in a sure place. What you're going to hear is Christ and him crucified. Blood shed for the remission of your sin. He's going to drive that home through your ear into your heart. It's going to be a sword in your heart. A two-edged sword. It's going to wound you. It's going to heal you. It's going to kill you. It's going to make you alive. And you're going to say, when you hear what Christ did for you, when he causes you to love him because of his love to you, and causes you to love his brethren and makes them your family, you're going to say, I'm not going anywhere. I'm not leaving the house. This is my wife. These are my family. This is my God. This is my gospel. This is my hope. You can't run me out of here. I'm staying. And they'll be a servant forever. Is that you? I'd like to see a show of hands now. That's what I do. Lord, make it so. And the only thing that's going to drive this home to your heart is Christ crucified. You won't get offended at your brethren if you when you realize what you've done to offend God to cause him to send Christ to that cross for you. When you realize it's only the blood that was shed for the remission of your sins, if you get out from under the blood, buddy, you won't be out from under the gospel. You'd be afraid to. I'd be afraid to get out from under the gospel. Because there remaineth no more sacrifice for sin. Right. What do you say? I will not go free. I don't want to be free. I want to be his bond. Slave, willing servant. After what he did for me. Man. As Bruce would say, that's good preaching. The reason being, not me. I stand amazed when I read this and I see things with you while we're... I think... I'm at a loss for words. God did this for me, for us. What a blessed fellowship, family we have. What a blessed hope. What a blessed redemption. What a blessed Savior. Blessed be his holy name. All right. Let's stand. I'll dismiss us in prayer, okay?